Now imagine two men and two fields. They've both been hired by the owner. Now the first, he cares for his field very well. He ploughs it, he digs, he gets the best seed to plant, he plants it at the right time. He gets a dog to chase away any birds and any thieves. He waters it at the right time and he waits. He digs up the weeds. He gets rid of any pests, any insects. When the harvest comes, there's a good harvest. He's got good fruit. Now the other man, he takes no care. He just gets the cheap seed. He just throws it in. He doesn't chase the birds away. He lets the weeds grow, the insects come. And when it's harvest time, of course there's no fruit. The owner comes and he severely punishes that man and sends him far away. Okay, so that was a field and a harvest. But it was a story with a meaning. The owner of the field was God. And the man was us, parents. The field is our homes and families. And the harvest we're looking for is children who please God, godly children. It needs care. It needs time. It needs effort. There are challenges, but they need meeting. Which of those men are we more like? Which of those stewards of the field, which of the managers of the field, are we more like? Now the verses speak first to children and then to fathers. But I'm going to address it mostly to fathers, but we'll cover all the verses. So that's because there's not many children in here listening at the moment. But first, we ask, who's responsibility is it? Don't know if you know this saying. They say the buck stops here. We have that saying in our country. It means that if you're looking for who's going to take responsibility, it's here. Here's the one you can point the finger at, and he's the one who has to give an answer. Who is the one that the responsibility rests with in a family? The one that God can come and ask and say, well, you're the one I gave the responsibility, so you give an answer. Well, it's fathers. Look at verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate or do not make angry your children. When he talks about the family, when he talks about children and what they should do, but then when he turns to the parents, he points the finger first at the fathers, not even at the mothers. Not the grandparents. You say, not the schools, not the clan, not the government. But he places the responsibility for raising the children, first of all, with the fathers. Fathers are given the authority, but that also means they're given the responsibility. Those two things always go together. If you have authority, it's because you have responsibility. So Paul addresses the fathers. You remember what Adam did after he sinned in the garden? And when God came and said, now what's happened here? Have you eaten the forbidden fruit? And Adam said, the woman that you gave me, that one, let me tell you what she did. But that's wrong. That was part of Adam's sin, that he started pointing around for somebody to blame for what he had done. In the family, God has placed the fathers first to take the responsibility. It's a total responsibility. See what verse 4 is? It says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. All of their bringing up, their teaching and their training is under the father's responsibility. Now, other people will be involved in that. We may choose to use schools, and of course, the mother will be very much involved. But the responsibility, where the buck stops, according to the Bible, is first of all with the Father's. And what a big responsibility. He doesn't just say, well, make sure they get some bread and that they go to a school. But it's the whole raising up, the whole bringing up, he places with them. Our children have souls. Our children are made in the image of God. Our children will spend eternity in heaven or in hell. And God points at fathers and says, the way you start them out in life, it's down to you. You're the ones I'll want an account from. And he says it's to be done in the way of the Lord. The training and instruction, verse 4, of the Lord. Because the teaching is that we're just stewards. If you like, we're managers. That we're not the owners. That God is the owner. All the relationships of this life will come to an end one day. But Jesus said one time that in heaven there's no marriage. The marriage relationships end. Even if you're there and your wife's there, but she's not your wife anymore. Those earthly relationships have been dissolved. They've ended. And the same we can say with fathers and mothers with their children. That relationship will come to an end. In heaven, you won't be looking out for your father to tell you what to do, and your children won't be watching for you to guide them. That'll all be over. God places them under us in our trust for a time. But that time comes to an end. And he takes them back just for himself. So it's so important what we do with them. You know, if you confuse a manager with an owner, then you'll have a terrible shock one day. The house you're living in, I think we're all renting our house from someone else. If we just treat it like it's ours and we do what we like, one day the owner will come back and say, what's happening here? Why haven't you been paying my rent? Why have you changed everything here? And you'll have a terrible surprise. Well, the children belong to God. So we must make sure we raise them God's way. It's not just something that came down to us from our tribe or clan. It's not just something to do the way of culture. Children belong to God. God himself placed them with us and gives us the command of the way to go. And fathers are the ones especially to take care of seeing that it is done in that way. Now, what are the duties to be fulfilled? How are they to be raised? Because he says it's to be done in the Lord. Verse 4 is their training instruction of the Lord. The first thing is to make sure that they know how to please God. Not just in one part of life, but in every part of life. And Paul doesn't need to spend a lot of time to explain that, because there's no change from what happened before. The Old Testament was full of that teaching. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we can start at verse 4. See, Paul had mentioned the fifth commandment. That was in Deuteronomy chapter 5. And the teaching hasn't changed. It just needs repeating and emphasizing. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses, on your gates. What's he saying? He's saying the commandments of God are to be governing every part of life. We're in the house, out of the house, at work, not at work. But our children are to learn that every part of life is to be ruled by the law of God. That we're to please God in every part of life. That we're to see them know how to obey their Maker everywhere. So you see how big that is. It's not just bread on the table. It's not just finding a school to send them to. But it's wanting their lives to be shaped at all times by the will of God. Again, it's not just clan or culture that shows us how to raise them. It's to be the law of God that's to teach them in every part. Now, Paul used two words in particular. We've got them translated first as training, then as instruction. Now, the first word, it's to do with nurture. Or if we say discipline. Now, I don't mean discipline, first of all, as in punishment, but discipline as in training, like in an army. When all the recruits come in to join the army, they don't know anything. They've got a lot to learn about obeying and all the drills and all the orders, all the things that they might need to do when they go out. They've got to be trained in those things, little by little, day after day, with a plan. Good things don't happen by chance. They need a plan, they need training, they need instruction. That's the word here. Of course, negatively, you have to bring them back from what's wrong. In the army, if you disobey the orders, you'll soon be punished for it. And when children run into wrong, they have to be rebuked, they have to be told off. If it's serious, then they maybe have to be smacked. But the aim is to bring them into the right way so that they learn how to obey God's commandments. And the second word he uses has a lot of overlap. He used the word instruction. In another Bible version, it's translated as admonition. It's a teaching again with a purpose to guide them into the way. It's a big task. It needs attention to be paid. It's too easy for people just to ignore their children and think the children will just float on by themselves. But no, he says, fathers, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. If you have a bottle and it has a small little leak in it, in the end, everything will leak out through that small leak. But we're to see our children are to be like bottles that we pour in a little, day after day after day, until they're full. And all the leaks, making sure there's no leaking. But they're learning God's ways day after day. Are you teaching your children the ways of God? You know, the Muslim children, they all know the Muslim teaching. Because their parents are very careful to teach them. Do our children know the Bible? And the Bible's such a big book. But little by little, we're to tell them the things we're learning. Tell them the things they need to know. The challenges they face in their lives. And they do face challenges. We mustn't just say it's not important. You know, a child goes to school and somebody bullies it or treats it badly. We need to show them the Bible, that they love their neighbours. We need to pray with them for the child who bullies them and give them an example of it. They won't learn that anywhere else. You know, in school, I bet the teachers just say, he hit you, well, just hit him back. That's not the way of God, is it? We need to teach them the Bible day by day to love their enemies. What they face, may they face a challenge. Maybe their homework was stolen from them and they come and say, what shall they do? Well, teach them to be honest and just to tell the teacher what happened. All the small challenges of life. Maybe a brother fights with a sister. We need to show them it's not right. Otherwise, they'll be the ones fighting in the street when they're youth. And we need to teach them to use their time well and to be honest now when they're small. Otherwise they'll be the lazy, dishonest ones when they're big. Day by day, all the challenges they face, we need to guide them through them. Now Paul, then he gives that command to the children that they're to obey their parents, verse 1. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We're the ones to help them in obedience. And he says there's a danger to avoid. We're going to look more closely at that. In verse 4 he said, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Now exasperate means make them angry. Another Bible says, do not provoke them to wrath or provoke them to anger. Now we're bigger than our children, and we can force them to do what we want them to do. Just by using our strength, we can force them. But if you force them to do the wrong thing, you'll make them angry. It's called resentment inside them. There'll be this annoyance, this anger, that you're using your power to oppress them rather than to help them. To the church at Colossae, in the book of Colossians, Paul said that we should not discourage them. That's Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. He wrote a letter that's quite similar. He gave a lot of commands that are quite similar. It has wives and husbands. And then children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Then he says, fathers, do not embitter your children, or they will become discouraged. Embitter, you make them bitter, you're making them angry, or they will become discouraged. Children are like tender plants that are growing up. They need to be cared for. They can't be treated roughly. Otherwise, you won't get the good fruit out of them. What is the atmosphere like in your home? Is it a joyful place? Is it a place where the children are glad to be growing and learning? Or is it full of hidden anger and resentment? Or even open anger and resentment? Well, what ways do we discourage them? I think they get discouraged if we don't recognize their limits as children. Their natural limits. We demand too much from them. Sometimes I've been tempted to say something to my children like, oh, you're behaving like a four-year-old. And then I remember, oh, this one is a four-year-old. Or, why are you behaving like a two-year-old? Oh, this one is a two-year-old, of course. We're expecting too much from them. Expecting them to behave with the maturity of a 10-year-old when they're only 5 or 6. We're being unfair to them. We can make them angry when we give them commands which are too hard for them, or commands we didn't need them to give. Didn't need to give them. Commands, commands, commands which just fill their life. Makes them feel like they're in a prison camp instead of being in a home where they're loved. Where all of life is just law, law, law. And yet there's no encouragement. See, Paul encourages the children when he speaks to them, doesn't he? Yes, he tells them to obey. He says, obey your parents, you know, in the Lord. You know, do it as a service to the Lord, because that is right. He reminds them of the fifth commandment, honour your father, honour your mother. That's one of the laws of God. He encourages them. He says, remember that command came with a promise, so that it may go well with you. You may enjoy long life on the earth. Yeah, children of Israel are promised long life in the land. We're not in Israel. We're not in that land of Canaan. But he says we can still take the promise and apply it to our own lives. And he applies it to the children to encourage them. It's interesting to see how Paul teaches. Yes, fathers are to teach their children to obey, But he doesn't put that first when speaking to the fathers. He doesn't say, fathers, make sure your children are all submissive and obedient. We know that one very well and very easily. And so the one he tells us is to make sure we do it gently, that we do it lovingly, that we nurture them kindly, that we're not just looking at our authority and getting them to obey, but we're remembering that they belong to the Lord and we need to raise them up for the Lord. Now children, though, they are told, they are given the commandment to obey, but they're given an encouragement to go with it. It doesn't say, children, obey your parents or you'll get beaten. It says, children, obey your parents. This is the right thing to do. It pleases the Lord. He's given a promise. That's the way of teaching. Do we show our children the reasons for our commands, that they're good for them, that they're part of what will help them and equip them in their lives? Or do we just insist on our authority? You know, I'm in charge here. I'm the father, or I'm the mother. You've got to obey me or you get a beating. Are we giving them the reasons? Are we showing them why it's helpful for them to do this thing? That our commands are not a burden, but are to be good, to show them the right way. Another way that we can exasperate them, make them angry, is if we blame them unfairly. Sometimes you had a really bad day and you're tired and everything's going wrong. And you get home, or you've been at home all day because you're the mother, and the children are being really noisy and awkward and troublesome. The temptation is just to put your frustration on them, to punish them too severely, or to blame them for everything, to demand too much of them. But that's not fair, is it? One way we can make them angry is when we fail to say sorry. When we behave as if we're perfect, as if the only disobedient people in the house are the children, as if the parents never disobey the law of God. Again, that's not true either, is it? We're sinners, they're sinners. We need Christ to forgive us, they need Christ to forgive us. They need to ask forgiveness when they fight with each other or they disobey. We need to ask their forgiveness when we do wrong to them. We need to show them what forgiveness is. It's an atmosphere of grace in the household. Not as if children are the bad ones and parents are the good ones. We know it's not like that. They know it's not like that. So why don't we admit it? Otherwise we'll exasperate them, we'll discourage them. But we should give them encouragements, not just rebukes when they're wrong. But like we've seen Paul did, he reminds them the commandment came with a promise. He reminds them that all their obedience goes to the Lord. You know, parents can be very faulty, very imperfect. But it's for the Lord, first of all, that they obey. But he gives them encouragements. But we can praise them when they do well. When they are obeying, we can tell them that we've noticed and that we're pleased. We can find some reward to give them. It's hard to live with somebody who only points at you when you're wrong, and they only rebuke you, and they only punish you, and they never have a good word for you. Wouldn't that be hard to live in that kind of situation? Well, it's a big, big task. Our children are like tender plants. They're growing up. We want to see the fruit from them. But it takes a long, long time. You know, a farmer plants for the harvest and it's a long time. He has to work hard. But actually it's only months. The children, we have the years and years until they mature and go and set up their own homes. But this is our work and it's a real work. It's a work for real men of God and real women of God. It'd be a very rewarding work when we see those children bearing fruit. When our children are teaching their children the right ways. when we see that they've set up godly homes. So, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord.